I have called you as a body of believers to a last day calling, saith the Spirit of grace. Know this, that the joy of the Lord is your strength, saith the Spirit of grace. Let my joy that comes up in private worship, those times that you spend with me, let it begin to dictate the course of your day and your miracles that I have prescribed for you in your life. For my joy in the Spirit will bring about these miracles, saith the Spirit of grace. For I come to light your light and to light your path. For know that the path of life brings forth miracles and multiple miracles, saith the Spirit of grace. As you learn this walk of faith, and you learn not to walk by sight nor your feelings, but I say there is a deeper inward witness by which I ask you to live by. And that witness witnesses joy in the midst of all opposition. Know that in my joy, in that place, there is a place of permanency for you. There is a place of no change. No change by those circumstances around about you, but change for those things in and of themselves. I will bring about the change, saith the Spirit of grace. So rejoice in me, and know that in your rejoicing, that you'll bring about that joy, and that joy will bring about the miracles, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. You and you alone. You and you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the gift of praying in other tongues. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, thank you for the teacher. Thank you for the teacher. Thank you for the teacher. Thank you for the gift of praying in other tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 How many are you glad for the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. Not this coming Sunday, but the next. Jim and Kathy Martin are going to be here. Please be in prayer. Please continue to bathe this in prayer. We've been praying over it on our Friday nights, and we're asking you all to be praying. And I'm sure that you're going to enjoy this week incredibly well. This man and his wife are just wonderful people. And just, my God, soundness of doctrine and power and prophecy and a lot of just wonderful things that we're going to see happen during that week. And so I hope you're excited, because I'm telling you, this guy is such a he's a doctor of theology, or a doctor, he's got his doctorate in theology, I guess, and but he's writing a book, and not because he just feels like that he has to, but the Holy Spirit has asked him to write a book, and it's on kingdom finances in the right way to give and the right way to receive. And it's like what we understand and what we teach. And so we're so glad. I'm so glad. I'm really looking forward to this book coming out. And maybe he can tell us a little bit more about it when he gets here. So be in prayer. Pray that those meetings are bathed by the Holy Spirit, and that everything that we need to bless them with comes in during those days. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, a few weeks ago, we were teaching on doing the works of Christ. And Rex, I put you on the spot here. Didn't ask you to prior to, but could you come and just for a couple minutes share with us share with us the testimony of what happened a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago with the couple that got, you know, and I won't say, but how God ministered to you and through you and Marcia, and because this is New Testament works. Amen. You don't know yet, but amen. Yes, it is. So praise God. Just give a listen.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting this, but I'm kind of ready for something.
Oh, God, he's got his mic.
Isaiah 52, I just wanted to read that for some reason here tonight, just part of it anyway. It says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from thy bands of the neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourself for naught. Ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name is continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name, therefore they shall know in the day that I am he, and he doth speak. Behold, it is I." This is the part that I kind of just for some reason pops up. Verse 7 says, "How beautiful are upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth forth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." Yeah, what happened a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine, biker chapter member, had called, and his girlfriend was having a hard time with some spirits in her house. So he gave me a call and said, "Hey, do you think you could do something?" And a couple nights later, I went and did a memorial service up there, and she was there, and he was there in Port Charlotte. And so I went over to talk to her, and she was trying to, you know, explaining what was going on. And she said three different times, she just moved into this place, and three different times within a week, she'd go to bed, and all of a sudden, she'd see alongside of her the pillow would be imprinted and like something laid down alongside of her. And it happened three different times, so she was pretty freaked out. And I said, "Yeah, we can," I'll come over. This was on a Friday night when I talked to her. And I said, "We can maybe come over Monday night." And I called Pastor Bronk on the way over there Monday night, and Marcia and I went together and met. His name was Zorro, and her name was Gigi. And we just said, "Yeah, we'll just come over and we'll pray, and you know, and in Jesus' name, that thing, you don't have to be afraid of it, you know. It can't hurt you." Because she was coming off with stories like, "Well, there's good ones and there's bad ones, right?" And I said, "Well, no. These are spirits, and they're bad. Period. There's not a good spirit and a bad spirit." I said, "There's good angels, but these are spirits." And I was trying to explain because they didn't have any idea what was going on. She was just pretty petrified. We went over there and just sat and talked to them and explained some of the word to them. Basically, salvation was what we were really after for them that night. And I called Pastor, and he and Candy were praying for us as we were going. And another scripture just popped out with what we had told them. Marcia actually shared this scripture about Nicodemus, you know, "Verily, verily," verse 5 in chapter 3 of John says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." And she read a little bit more down. So we spent maybe probably a half an hour just talking to him about salvation and not really talking about what we were going to do there. It was more on giving them just some foundational truth that they didn't really know. I mean, we found out when we were there, they were both raised Catholic. And Marcia said, "Well, do you have any questions?" After we were all done talking with them, and she said, "Well, I've prayed, and why can't I cast this thing out?" And I said, "Well," I said, "have you ever asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior?" And she says, "Well, I'm Catholic." And I said, "Well," I said, "I understand Catholic religion." I said, "I came from Catholicism myself." And I said, "They never taught me that Jesus is the way to salvation. They said he was a good man and spoke of him a lot in the Catholic Bible, but they never explained that he's the way. He's the only way." So, you know, I reiterated that to them, to her and to him again. And something I said when we were talking that Zorro had mentioned after we had gone through the house. I just had mentioned when we were talking that good works doesn't do it, you know, because a lot of those guys I noticed, and when I did that memorial service, a guy came up to me after I did the service and said, "Yeah, my two aunts are you know, born again, but the one said, you know, he wanted me to know this, that the one said, just because of good works, I can still go to heaven, you know." So when I was over there, the Holy Spirit reminded me of that a lot of people think, you know, good works, you know, and I, you know, it's not a Santa Claus deal, man. I mean, being good ain't gonna get you there, you know. And you know, and that triggered something in him, because he was Catholic too, and he really believed that he was going to heaven. I mean, they thought, both of them thought, well, you know, we've gone to church and we're good people. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. And such deception that is for people, because they honestly really thought. But when I had said that to him, it kind of made him stop and think. It's like, wait a second, is there something else that I'm missing? You know, and then we walked through the house. We finished up what we were doing, and I said, well, we're going to walk through your house now and just pray, and if there's anything here, it's going to be gone when we get done praying. And we did that, and we were just standing ready to leave, and he was just like, you know, I want that born-again thing, he said, you talked about. He goes, I want that born-again thing. He said, you said something about good works. He said, I thought because I have been good and haven't done this and haven't done that, and that's all it was needed. So that was really cool. We spoke to them about the truth, you know, and what has to happen. And he just heard this 3 nights prior too, because I did a whole salvation message at that service. So basically, he heard it just 3 days prior also. But the part that was so good was he actually said, I want to have that thing. I want to make sure this is secure. So we just prayed the salvation prayer, and they both got born again. Hallelujah. Just right there. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then one other thing, I called them 2 days or 3 days later and asked them, I said, well, how was things in her house? And he said, there hasn't been no problems.
The end of everything is salvation. And, of course, they could have cast those devils out. And if people wouldn't have gone to salvation, it was just a period of time, you know, before they slipped back in. And so now there's a discipleship work that's necessary, but they'll begin to ask questions, and they'll begin to lead them into the fullness of everything that they've been created, and that is the righteousness of God. So there is a time period the Holy Spirit gives you to begin to walk into that new place. And praise God. We thank God for true grace. True grace. Hallelujah. I thought you'd enjoy that testimony, because that's what goes on around here. Now, they have a ministry, but their ministry is part of this ministry, and this ministry is part of their ministry. We're married together. So, and that marriage came about by the Holy Spirit. But all those kinds of things are taking place around here all the time, and that's the kind of stuff we want to report back to you. Now, I'm going to ask you this evening to get ready to give and give you an opportunity to give. And then we're going to go right into the Word of God, and I'm sure that you're going to enjoy what the Holy Spirit has for you tonight. So why don't you just listen? Father, we just thank you for the opportunity once again to give into such testimonies as this. We've been saying that the blind see and the lame walk. We've been seeing people that have been, Lord, healed of all kinds of things. And then, Lord, salvation is coming. It's coming in the report of it. And demoniacs, different things setting free. But Father, we thank you because you are that grace in us and through us. And we give you all the praise and glory. Now we pray for this grace, Father, that you'll speak again to our hearts. And we bless the giver in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. If one of you guys would do us a favor. And the rest of you, if you have something to give this evening, will you bring it down? God bless you. Thank you. We receive from you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Getting ready for wonderful things. Praise God. Would you just lift up a solemn sound into your own heart? We just love you, Jesus. We worship you. You are so wonderful. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity of giving. And Lord, we bless the gift and the giver and call Immokalee saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Just a couple more minutes of worship. Just bless the Lord. Would you please? Just listen. Feel His presence right there. Just come right through those notes. Bless you, Jesus. We glorify you. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Father. Nothing of our strength. It's all through you, Jesus. Every prayer, every message, every determination in the Spirit. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we bless you. Thank you for your word, your written word, your spoken word, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I bring greetings from Pastor Dave. He called last night. I was actually with Homer, and we were sitting in place. He called, and he wanted me to tell you guys hello. So, amen. So, greetings from Pastor Dave. Amen. So, he will be back. He can't wait to be back this year. Praise God. Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it. We're going to go to a few places in the Word tonight, and I'm excited. I've just, you know, really this is the fourth message in a row from myself. Actually, there was one Sunday on the same subject, if you caught it. And this is the fourth one in a row on deception, and this one will be deception part four slash apologetics of truth. Don't worry about the word apologetics. I'll explain in just a moment. First of all, I want to say fantastic job by the Holy Spirit and Pastor Homer on Sunday. It just, man, it was so good. Praise God. And that was some meat, and it was meat, and it was filet mignon. It was just really, really good. And he's broke down that asking and having not like I had really never heard it before. Actually, I'd heard it just a little bit prior to that because he had shared a little bit of it with me in weeks gone by. So he did a good job. The Holy Spirit did a great job. And it just is it's just a continuation of what we've been hearing around here. And let me say this. I think most of you that know me know this. You know that our greatest endeavor in the Spirit is just to listen, to hear what He wants us to do from week to week. We don't have to teach on series. Normally, we don't teach on series, but I like series when the Holy Spirit puts it together. But I can tell you this, what has been coming to me has been no effort on my part. It's just been flowing like a river. And somebody saw me today sitting out on my front porch, and we were just on my swing, and it was just riding and riding and riding. They said, "We drove by, you look like you're on fire," you know, and I said, "I just was lost." And I was lost in what he was giving me. And the Holy Spirit has something to say. And the things that He's been saying recently concerning deception and the way He has been putting it together, it's been very beneficial. It's been very, very beneficial for you and for me as your pastor. And it's not been, I can say this, judging it by the Spirit, and I believe that you would say the same, it's not been antagonistic. It's not been trying to come against people, but come against falsehoods that are coming in the last day. Besides for that, the beneficiality of it, if I could use that, is been not only just teaching against these things, but also everything that all the doctrine, all the truth that the Holy Spirit has been circumventing around this message of deception and false doctrine and those kinds of things. And Sunday was a great example of that. Sunday was no less than the Holy Spirit just saying a whole lot of very powerful things that was not just pertinent to deception, but also that just teaches us as men and women of God that are maturing in the things of righteousness, how to walk in a place of victory, how to be exalted out of tests and trials, and how to have that consistency. And I mean, man, that was just worth it all right there. And so praise God. Tonight, we're going to be in a few places of the Word. But I just want to, as I started out here tonight, I just want, as I said, to introduce this message as the apologetics of truth. Now, I'm not trying to give you a fancy word. I'm just listening to what I hear. The word apologetics means this. Let me give you a definition in just a moment. But the guys that are around me know that my forte, or there's probably a better word than that, my disposition is really not to argue the Word of God, but really present truth. Just present the truth. And that's kind of been my disposition. Pastor Homer, by his own admission, has said before in the past, and he's talked about some of the guys that he's actually mentored and discipled. He said, you know, as I grew more and God came on me more as a father, he said, you know, and I'm kind of just, this isn't verbatim, but I'm paraphrasing. He can later when he's teaching, he can say, no, that's not exactly, but I believe he was saying as I went along, God kind of pulled the reins on a lot of the argument inside of me. Like if somebody didn't have the same doctrine, you know, not to really get in an argument about it, but never, you know, kind of pull back. And he said, I really had to teach some of my, like this guy, which is an up and coming. And if you're wondering who I'm pointing to Mr. Alex. And he's sitting on the front row, and he's one of our up and coming teachers. Well, these guys, as myself, are growing in the Spirit. But they're going to be kind of glad of this, because actually I'm going to teach, or the Holy Spirit's going to teach, an argumentative type message tonight. The word apologetics means this, and it's taught in Bible colleges. Actually, the Bible college I went to taught apologetics. There's nothing spiritual about apologetics in and of itself, except the integration of the Word of God that we'll use with that. Apologetics means this. It's the branch of theology that is concerned with defending or proving the truth of Christian doctrines. Let me say that again. You like that, Alex? Okay. The branch of theology that is concerned with defending or proving the truth of Christian doctrines. It also means a formal argumentation in defense of something such as a position or system. Now, we said that, and we're going to now launch into the teacher, which we all know as the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 16, and that's, of course, St. John chapter 16, and then we're going to look at verses 12 through 15. We'll have to kind of go along at a reasonable pace here tonight to get to where we need to be towards the end. John 16, verses 12 through 15. Let me say that this, as you're turning there, is that the Holy Spirit, which is our spiritual guide, and which we'll read to many of us familiar verses in just a moment, the Holy Spirit has two ways through which He brings. Let me back up and say it this way. There's two ways through one channel, and you'll understand that in just a minute. There's two ways through one channel in which the Holy Spirit is able to guide, lead and guide us into all truth. With that said, let's look at verse 12. And Jesus is speaking here. It's in words of red, letters of red. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, he's speaking to his disciples prior to the cross that are not yet born again. And he's saying, there's a lot I want to talk to you about, but you can't bear it now. In other words, you can't understand it now. Howbeit, 13. Howbeit, when he, and he identifies, the Spirit of truth is come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. And everybody say, all truth. All truth. So one of the first things that Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit is this, that when he comes, that he will guide us, not just into partial truth, but into all truth. When it's speaking of all truth there, I think there's some observations that we need to make here tonight. And I think it'll be helpful for you. Most of the time, when we say all truth, our first thought is everything that's pertinent to the Word of God. And I believe that is first place. I believe that His assignment by the Father is to guide you in all truth, as in revelation to God's Word, into everything that God's Word is, as in truth concerning who your Father is, who you are in inheritance, and the list could go on and on. But when he says all truth, I believe that there's an encompassing there that is saying to us that he's going to guide you into all truth concerning your personal life in relevance to the will of God for your life. In other words, everything that God wants you to walk in as a son or daughter in your inheritance, and all of the personal things that nobody could sit down and write out for you, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth, not just the truth concerning His Word, but all truth as it relates to you as a personal son or daughter. Isn't that wonderful? That's just great. He said He'll guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now, actually, what it's saying here, He's not going to speak on His own accord or by His own unction. He is going to speak what He hears. Who's He hearing it from? He's hearing it from the mind of Christ. He's hearing it from the Lord of the church. He's hearing it from the one who is our commander in chief. Now, how this all goes down in the Spirit, it is beyond us. But yet, we have a direct description here that the Holy Spirit is in constant communication. He's one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever He hears from the Lord, see, the Lord has, as your Lord, He has a call for you. He has a direction for you. He has a place for you to live. He has a place for you to worship at. He has all of the personal pertinent things designed for you from wherever you start your journey in Christ. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and show to you whatsoever thing he hears, and he shall speak, and that shall he speak, and he will show you, everybody say show you, things to come. Two things here you just need to notice. It's very important. He not only speaks, but he shows. Isn't that great? And that's something that only you can get as a new creature in Christ. I think about when Gary Carpenter years ago had his, what he calls his intimate face-to-face time with the Holy Spirit. It was face-to-face. Face-to-face documents. And he actually wrote all that out. And it was over a period of time where the Holy Spirit would come to him each day or each morning and just speak. And they're just powerful, and some powerful confessions. And it's all based on the Word of God. And you just read it, and there's a witness on the inside that, man, only the Holy Spirit could say these things. But he says here that he'll not only speak, but he will show you things to come. And so in that's face-to-face. He's showing us, and he's comparing things. And we're going to go to some scripture in a moment that talks about how the Holy Spirit can actually compare things to your spirit, because you are presently now one with the Father. You have the same DNA as the Father. Verse 14 says, He'll glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. When it says he'll glorify me, that's another part of his description. He's going to show truth, all truth, not just the truth in the Word of God, but the truth in the Word of God as it pertains to you. And he's going to show it. He's going to speak it unto you. He's going to show it unto you. He's going to guide you into all truth. And he's going to take of mine and show it unto you. When he says take of mine, he says all things that I have are from the Father. So he's saying everything that the Father has given me, I'm going to speak it through the Holy Spirit, and he's going to show it unto you. He's going to say, this is what Jesus got from the Father. And if he got it from the Father, you get it also. This is yours. This is yours by right of inheritance. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Again, it says, show it. So here's a revelation. A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. So three times there, he speaks of showing by revelation, and that's what he has the capacity to do because we are born again. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I love this because this is who we are, verses 12. Now, we don't have the time to teach all these chapters and verses out. We've done much of this before in the past because we're going somewhere. We just want to lay a little foundation here of what the work of the Holy Spirit is to you and for me and what He does, and just remind us some things of what we already know and go forward with that. Verse 12 of chapter 2 says this, for we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Notice there that King James got it right when he mentions the word spirit, because he uses the little S there. And so it's talking about when we got born again, we did not receive the spirit of the world, but we received the Spirit which is of God, or the Spirit that came from God, the Spirit of Christ. We got the new nature. We got one that is comparable now, just like Jesus, just like the one that he had and walked on this earth with. He says this, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Those things that are freely given to us of God. Now, if we were to back up and give you the contextual truth on this, he's talking about all the things of your inheritance, everything that you have inherited from God. When he talks about eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, that's the natural man. But you as the spiritual man, these things are now revealed to you, not by flesh and blood, not by a natural man, but now by the Holy Spirit, and how he does that, which things, verse 13, also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit, now here's the first time, really, that he mentions the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. All the other spirit up to that point is primarily, he's just speaking about the change that took place in your born-again new nature, your spirit. He says now, but the Holy Spirit teaches, how does he teach? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And we've taught on this before, but this is how the Holy Spirit does it. He takes the Word of God. And we could go to John, talk about 1 John, where it says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. What he's saying is, it doesn't mean you have all knowledge. It just means that the Holy Spirit is the one that confirms the truth inside of you, if you give him proper perspective and proper place in your life. Now, here it says that he compares spiritual to spiritual. What it's saying is the Holy Spirit has the capacity, now that you are God's son or daughter, to take that which is spiritual, which is the Word of God, and compare it to that which He's placed in you, which is a nature just like His. When it says, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now that you're born again, this is the capacity, and this is the privilege that we have in going forward in understanding soundness of doctrine and in truth. The Holy Spirit now can come to you and he can take the Word of God that you read and he can compare it to your born-again spirit. And in all essence, now you can't see this on the on the internet, but I've got my Bible open, and I'm standing on the front row, and I'm standing down here in front of Alex, my friend, and I've got the Bible open as if I'm about to show him something. If I were the Holy Spirit, and I were teaching Alex, what I would be saying is, see this truth? How does that compare with what's inside of you? Because what's inside of him is truth. It's Jesus Christ came with grace and truth. Not just grace, but grace and truth. So when you got born again, what was placed inside of you was a nature that had the capacity to witness truth. It had the capacity to say, yes, that is truth. The Holy Spirit, in essence, is pointing at a verse or a chapter and say, see what I'm saying about this? See what I'm saying? How does that compare? Well, you read it and you read it and you read it and you begin to get things out of it. And as you get things out of it, it begins to grow. It begins to grow in what we commonly call a witness or an unction. And that's how the Holy Spirit does it. That's how he confirms truth. He says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, the unregenerate, unborn again man, he can't, how can he discern? For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. Now let's go to one of our favorites, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1 through 6. This teaches, chapter 14 teaches us a lot about praying in tongues and the avenue by which the Holy Spirit can get revelation knowledge over to us. How many of you just believe with all of your heart, and I know that I'm already speaking to a predetermined crowd per se, that there's a better way to receive revelation knowledge than just by chance? Amen? There is a deliberate way that you can go before your Father and believe that the Holy Spirit, or believe that you'll come away with true revelation knowledge. I can tell you this, and you listen to what I say, before, I like the way Homer says, listen before you judge what I say. Reading this alone won't get you revelation knowledge, true revelation knowledge. Just reading it alone or meditating it alone. You must have a teacher. You must have a teacher. Why? Because thousands of preachers read this. And thousands of preachers say different on the same chapter and verse. There is only one, the one that wrote it. Pastor Dave was saying last night, he wanted me to tell you guys this. It sounds simple, but nevertheless it's true. I was kind of giving him just a, I mean, we didn't even spend but just a moment on this. It wasn't the topic of the conversation or the essence of the conversation, but there was a part. I shared a little bit of some of the stuff and some of the, I guess you would call it the war story of recent days. And he said, tell them they are on the right path. They're on the right path. He said, this path will take them through all the way to the end. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, it'll take them through. And when I shared with him some relevant situations that had occurred with us recently and different things, we were talking about the same thing that the Holy Spirit is teaching on tonight. And that's radical grace. And that's the message concerning deception. And Pastor Dave, you know, he's been around so long, he's seen so much. And he said, you know, this has always been, it's just circumventing itself again. And he said, now the way that it will do is that it will go from, you know, you can sin and you don't have to ask forgiveness anymore. That's the first step. And then he said, he said, this is the progression. It'll sin. You don't have to ask forgiveness. And then it'll turn into eternal security. And really, we're already seeing that. And that's been around for a long time. The only difference between eternal security now and what we were seeing years ago, the tongue talkers, the quote, tongue talkers the people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm not saying that that's what they spend their time doing, but they have initially been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now they're saying the message of eternal security. Like, in other words, you can do anything you want to, and you're always going to be saved, and there's no separation point. He said that the last will be this. He's not talking off the top of his head. He's kind of prophesying all the time. He said the last will be the all-inclusiveness. That's the last. And I can say his name because he publicly affirms this. And Carlton Pearson, which was once a Holy Ghost-filled tongue talker, now he believes that everybody is going to be saved in the end. In other words, it doesn't matter Muslim, Buddhist, it doesn't matter. Everybody is on the planet is going to be saved. Now, I have seen that up close and personal. Not of any recent, but I've dealt with that personally in a certain sense of the word and seen where that can actually go to. And I can promise you, it does go to that. It can go to that. And that's a deception all in and of itself. But I can tell you this. How many of you understand this? If you give the devil an inch, he never stops with that inch. He just keeps gobbling and gobbling and gobbling. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says this, "Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men," who does he speak to, "but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks" what? Mysteries. You know what the word mysteries is? Divine secrets. He's speaking divine secrets. And it says here, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and" what? "Comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue" does what? "Edifies himself. But he that prophesieth edifies the church." Now we could just back up and say that's the same difference. That teaching is that edification, in verse 3, edification, exhortation, and comfort, that happens to the church when somebody prophesies. The same difference or the same thing happens. He says this in verse 4, "He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church." So there he just says the word edify. Edifies church, edifies person, personal person. Meaning this, you'll get the same results by praying in tongues that prophecy gives to the local church, which is what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. All those things will come in by your personal prayer life of praying in other tongues. Verse 5, "I would that you all spake in tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interprets that the church may receive edifying." Now he's talking about the tongue and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, brethren, if I came unto you speaking with tongues, he's talking about his own personal tongues and just prayed in tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And so what he's saying there is this, I could come to you speaking in tongues, but it wouldn't profit you anything. But in essence, this is what you get. This is what I give you out of what I'm getting by praying in other tongues. And he lists all those things and he says, I could either stand here for 30 minutes and pray in tongues, or I could give you the fruit of or the product of praying in tongues, which is, he says, revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or doctrine. Hallelujah. So praise God that doctrine and praying in other tongues are hooked up real close together. Amen? Hallelujah. That's something that you need to understand, that doctrine and praying in tongues is really hooked up together. We know this because Paul gave himself away as far as sharing his source of revelation knowledge. You've heard this before. We'll say it again or we'll read it again. He says in verse 18, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye" what? "All." And he's saying to the Corinthian church, Corinthians, he wasn't doing it boasting. I believe he was telling them how important it was to pray in tongues. Then it led into order. It led into the reasons why that he would be silent and the reasons why that that he should or should not pray in tongues at any given time. But nevertheless, Paul was he was teaching and sharing that he prayed in tongues more than anybody else. How many of you just know that by him saying that, listen, that's why God was able, probably predominantly the reason why God was able to use him to write more than any other of the other apostles the Word of God. Three quarters of the New Testament Paul wrote. Now, we're not trying to put Paul, we're not going to worship Paul, but we're telling you, here's the source of his revelation knowledge. Do you know, and this is another thing I remember right now that Pastor Dave said last night when we were talking that brief moment. He said, look, Bronk, he said, even without what you have right now, like the Word, the New Testament, if you were to be doing what you're doing right now, praying in tongues and spending those hours, you'd still believe, in essence, what you believe right now. Because Paul had to come about it. Paul did not have the New Testament. And many of the apostles had to be, they had to look to Paul for revelation knowledge. Paul actually had to step up and say, that's not really the way it is. This is what truth is. And so Paul only had the Old Testament and his walk with the Lord, which he shares with us a personal side of his life and says, look, I'm praying in tongues more than everybody else, at least relevant to you Corinthian church. Now, there is the Old Testament. Let me just kind of adjust my thinking here for just a moment and listen. You know, when I began to start this message, I said this. I said there were two ways, but one channel by which the Holy Spirit can lead and guide us. Now, I want to talk about that just for a moment, or he wants to talk about that for just a moment. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. How many have ever read or heard a message around here from Romans 8, 26? I think a couple times. Now, in the Old Testament, God led his people. We're talking about leadership of the Holy Spirit tonight. Our primary subject is leadership of the Holy Spirit into sound doctrine. In the Old Testament, God, how many of you know that God was able to lead the righteous people? He was. You hold your place right there, and I will just read a couple of scriptures showing you the predominant way that God or the Holy Spirit led his people. If you're taking notes, you may not have time to turn there, but the first one is in Psalms 37:5. And it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall do what? Bring it. If you're not there, I'll read it for you. He shall bring it to pass. In other words, they committed their way unto the Lord, and they just believed that God would take care of all the outside circumstances and somehow lead them in the direction which they would go. In other words, they did not have a direct inward compass, something leading them and guiding them into all truth. They just had to pray, God, direct me here. And somehow God showed up on the circumstances. Another one is in Proverbs 3:5, and this is one that we quote a lot or we like. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? He shall direct thy paths. Now that's Old Testament, but that's good because he will do that. And the reason why that I had you turn to Romans 8:26 is because it's important for you to understand that he's still doing that in a certain sense of the word. In other words, when Jesus taught his disciples in John 14:17, he talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to turn there. If we turn there, you would read something that that Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit is with you, but afterwards he's going to be in you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is with you because they were still living in an Old Testament dispensation. But he said, the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. Now, I like the part best that he's in me. But you know what? I'm really glad that he's also with me. I'm also glad that he's with me. He did not change. Jesus didn't say he's no longer going to be with you, but just in you. He is with us and he's in us. And that's important. Why is that important? Because Romans 8:26 says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself, or it says itself, but better translation, himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he does what? He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, let me just stop right there and say this. This intercession here, we often talk about, if you've been around here long enough, you've heard us talk about the deep groanings of the Holy Spirit. But primarily, you don't go into that stage on a daily basis. This really is talking about the 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul says, he that prays in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. And edification really is a light form of intercession. In other words, the Holy Spirit, on a day-in, day-out basis, as you pray in other tongues, he's leading and guiding you into all truth, and he's leading and guiding you into the truth that is relevant to your life and all the decisions you need to make. How does he do that? He does it by prioritizing everything in your life and beginning to illuminate you. It says here in verse 27, watch this, it says, he that searches the hearts, that's the Holy Spirit, he's searching the inward parts. He's also listening to the mind of Christ. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He might just say he knows what's the mind of Christ. It's just reiterating there the same thing. He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the what? The will of God. The will of God. In verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, we've kind of beat that scripture, not that scripture, but the falsehood of in the past people saying, well, this happened to me because this tragedy happened to me because God was trying to work some good out of it. Because we know, misquoting this verse, we know that all things, you know, God broke my back. God gave me a wreck. God did this. And we know it's all working together for my good. That's not what that scripture is saying. God did not do that to you, my friend. He's not double-minded. But what this scripture is saying, obviously in context, is in the midst of what the work of the Holy Spirit is, which is to make intercession for you, and he's searching the heart, your heart, and he's comparing it spirit to spirit, and he's searching the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is given to him continually, and he's leading and guiding you into all truth. In that work, while you're praying in other tongues, while the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you, all things are working together for your good. In other words, that work is working together for your good. But let me take it a step further. Remember that he's not only in you, but he's also with you. That sounds simple, but you got to get that. Because what Romans 8, 26, 27, 28 is telling you, that all these things are working together for your good, he's saying that the process by which the Holy Spirit is praying for you, that is bringing forth not the devilish scheme is working for your good, but that, he says, but that which delivers the process or delivers you out of the process, or all truth relevant to your life for the furtherance of the image of Jesus Christ in you. Now, Pastor Dave gives an example, like you ladies making a cake. And I've used it several times. He said, like, if you're putting together something that the end result is going to be something wonderful that everybody's going to enjoy, halfway through it, if you looked at all of the ingredients that went into it, and I could name all those, but there's some sweet, there's some bitter, there's this, there's that, there's eggs, there's milk, there's, you know, there's butter, there's all that kind of stuff. I mean, if you put all that together, any particular part of that doesn't make it up. It doesn't make up the end result. What this is telling us is this, is that no matter what you go through, when you're praying in tongues, see, the Holy Spirit keeps recalibrating everything. See, I am totally convinced that if I keep praying in tongues, my next, and I'm just going to throw this, I don't know what number to put out there, but I'm totally convinced my next 5 years will be orchestrated by the Lord. In other words, I will be at the right place at the right time, meeting the right people, hearing the right doctrine from the Holy Spirit, going forward, not mixed up in my own self. And when the Holy Spirit is praying against all these infirmities, it's not just the particular work that's going on. That's the essence of it. He's praying the mystery, but he's also praying that he can get out there and orchestrate and bring into effect all the things that will cause your life to come into the will of God. Hallelujah. Case in point, when I was 17 years ago, when I was praying and crying out to God, and I was saying, God, I want truth. And I was praying in tongues as much as I could. You've heard my testimony. Some lady came up to me and said, here's a Dave Broverson cassette. That wasn't a revelation that came to me, but that was God orchestrating the outside parts of my life through what I was giving him through praying in tongues. He began to put me in contact with this person and that person with that person until somebody said, look, here's something I listened to, and it brought truth into my life. So the beautiful part is the Holy Spirit's not just in us, he's with us. So he's not just doing the work of revelation by face-to-face, which he does, but he's also bringing our life into a perfect place with God by, as we pray the mysteries, he sets up our life in front of us. Isn't that wonderful? That's so absolutely wonderful, and I think that's important for you to understand just a little bit more. Now, this is the part where we are listening to how that we can affect not only your life. You may think, Pastor, we get it. Okay? We get it. You don't have to worry about us. We're not going to, you know, jump the fence. These messages are not in effect for you for that purpose. These messages of concerning deception and radical grace, as Pastor Homer used that Sunday, and I've used it recently. Therefore, the endowment of other people that will come in and also will listen to these things and receive I understand, I get it, I understand why not to go that direction. I was talking to Gary a few weeks ago, and Gary told me this, and Gary wasn't putting a seal of something like desperation, like we're living in a place where we can never reach these people again. But he said this, and you've probably heard me say this a few weeks ago. He said, to this point, now he's witnessed a number of people that have got a hold of that message and have left and gone over. And he said, up to this point, he's never seen any of them come back once they cross that line. That's how strong it is. He says, I've not seen any of them come back. He's not saying, and I'm not saying, that that's not possible. In fact, I believe Jude, and that's not another subject, it's just another great teaching. Jude tells us that in our last day ministry, we will have the capacity, and Jude actually, it doesn't say all, but it says, on some, having compassion will make a difference. In other words, we will be able to pull some of them back. He doesn't say, amazing enough, Jude doesn't say they're all coming back. A lot of times we've said, they're coming back. And we do have that confession, and I believe we need to keep making that confession. It's absolute important. But I'm saying this to say how sobering it is. And you say, why do you say it's going to be really hard? Well, here's the difference. If you go to the doctor tomorrow and he says, you know what, the pain in your side is, you've got a slight infection. I can give you some penicillin in 3 days. It's going to be gone. You're gonna have a sobering kind of, okay, I'm going to pray and I'm going to. If you go and he says you've got liver cancer and you've got 2 months to live, there's a big difference. You're gonna get real. Either you're going to crash and burn and die, or you're gonna get real strong on your confessions, and you're gonna look at it in a real sense of sobriety. The difference between a common cold and dying with cancer is two different things. The people, when they leave under the umbrella of this doctrine, it is very, 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 very difficult to ever get them back. Why? Because they begin to see our voice as a voice of bondage and a voice of taking away the liberty that we have found. Now, I'm going to read some things to you in just a moment that the Holy Spirit gave to me today. And it'll take just a few moments, but it'll conclude. We won't teach past that because it'll kind of conclude the service. But I just want to, as in an apologetic way, remember what apologetics is? It's making an argument concerning your doctrine. These guys are like, man, you taught us not to do that. Now you're saying go ahead with it. No, it is. Paul actually addressed things. He did. And sometimes in a spiritual argumentative way. And these guys are well worth doing that as well, or well have the capacity to do that. These are some of the arguments. If you become a, these are things of truth, and I think that anybody on that side or this side would understand this. If you become a Christian, your life is no longer left up to chance. How many of you know that? You should have that sense of understanding. Your life is no longer left up to chance. You are no longer the one in charge of truth in your life. How many would say that should be a give me? And they should probably say yes to that. You're no longer the one in charge of truth in your life. Truth as in doctrine, or truth as in your natural life lived out. In other words, when he said, I want to lead and guide you into all truth, well, shouldn't we depend on the Holy Spirit to be the one to tell us where we should go live, who we should marry, really, if you give him all that right, that's where he wants to take it to. The guide of both of these becomes God through the person of the Holy Spirit. How many of you understood from the very beginning tonight that the Holy Spirit is the guide? He's the one who leads and guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit can affect your life in two ways. First, and I would say this is the predominant way, first, the face-to-face, His direct teaching to you as in truth of the Word of God. And we showed that saying, showing it unto you, or directing, or number two, the Holy Spirit can direct the outside circumstances of your life to bring them into the will of God. He completes both of these processes through praying out the mysteries before God through the gift of tongues, or as somebody said, praying in other tongues tonight. Praise God. Okay, now, we're good, and we're going to be just letting you out in just a little bit. How many will sit and listen for just a few more minutes as I read these next few pages? Here's my apologetic argument, okay? And it is it's not for them. We're not trying to be mean to them. This is to give us an understanding and for future ones that will say, I'm on the fence with this. Which way do I go? Here's a perspective that I believe that the Holy Spirit gave me concerning radical grace. I'm going to read this in the way that was given to me. And that is not from a sarcastic, mean, demeaning, belligerent kind of way, but apologetics means coming together and just reasoning about something, just talking about something. Just say, okay, this is my side. What do you have to say about it? And that should be very congenial, but yet, if it's done through the mind of Christ, it can be very effective. Concerning radical grace, and I'm standing in front of someone, or I'm sitting in front of someone, they're on the radical grace side, and I am where I am now, and I'm going to discuss this with them. This is the disposition of this conversation. How did you come to where you presently are? I mean, how did you escape the false doctrine that once held you in bondage to a place of legalism, from which you are now enlightened or set free from? I believe that your honest answer would be that God led you in this direction and brought you into this place of present-day enlightenment, of which I can agree that only He, that's God, is the one that we can trust to guide us into all truth. My next question might be, how did this journey start for you? Those are just good, honest questions. My next question might be, how did this journey start for you? Did the Holy Spirit begin by leading you through a step-by-step comparing spiritual to spiritual, meaning by taking the Word of God and comparing the truth to it by the inward witness and thus showing you the error of what you once believed? Now understand, they've made the transition. They believe that what they once understood concerning grace is now error. And now they've been enlightened by, if they're a good believing Christian, they believe they've been now enlightened by the Holy Spirit. I do agree that part, the Holy Spirit's job is to get us past our weaknesses and predetermined ideas. Nobody ever starts out as I remembered this, and this is not trying to impress you, but I don't know if any of you have ever had a course in psychology in high school or college. They call it tabula rasa, which means a clean slate. A clean slate is nobody that's ever been, your mind has not been affected by circumstances or by experiences in the past. How many of you know there's nobody like that? Everybody has been affected by circumstances in the past. Nobody starts out with a clean slate. But I have noticed that He does not, that's the Holy Spirit, contradict Himself. Once He starts you out on the foundation or the rock, which is Jesus Christ and His sayings, He never changes that foundation by which He continues to build revelation knowledge. This path, the path of radical grace, this path offers to leave out parts of His sayings, thus telling me that this is not an adjustment, but rather a total paradigm shift or a foundational change. If this is so, then I'm at a terrible quandary or confusion. If I'm to accept this, then I must conclude that what I earnestly trusted for years as the leadership of the Holy Spirit, as in understanding grace from Scripture, was really just me and my own intellect. If this was true, then how can I trust that my new foundational truth is not just me leading me again in some kind of vicious circle? How does that sound so far? Okay. This is my question. What will I feel like in 5 years? Will I feel like that He, the Holy Spirit, changes everything again? If so, when will I ever come to the foundation that never changes? But something that I can build on for life. I continue to ask, how did God, because we believe that they believe God is leading in this direction, I continue to ask, how did God orchestrate your journey out? If they're out in a place of freedom now, how did He orchestrate that journey out? Was it through an outside change of events? Did someone you trusted give you a book, DVD, or did you just happen to change the channel one day while watching Christian TV and God caught your attention? This is my greatest challenge. Wouldn't God do this for me as well? If He is the one that is no respecter of persons, doesn't He love me just as much as He loves you? Or is it really just up to chance? Can we really boil it down to whoever is the smartest or being in the right place at the right time or changing the channel just in time. But if not, then it must go back to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. What would you say, asking them the question in a very congenial way, what would you say to a person like me, like myself, to help me or to convince me? To convince me of the liberty that you now possess or have. I, personally, I have given, by His grace, big parentheses, the last 17 years of my life to continual diet of praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, sometimes many hours every day for days on end, sometimes reading the Word for hours on end and praying in the Holy Ghost, asking Him with all my heart that my interpretations would not be of myself, but of Him. This is my greatest dilemma. When I read or hear the teachings of this new grace revelation, nothing in me wants to accept it. Everything in me wants to rebel against it. Nothing in its departure from what is their old truth or what they understood. Nothing in that departure now witnesses to me truth or truth to me. Something inside rebels with a radical nature that this is not God. Not that these people are not of God, but that the doctrine that they're teaching is not of God. Last page, and then we're done. You've been a wonderful audience. If this was God, if it was God changing His church, getting us ready for the last day outpouring, couldn't I conclude this? That something, just something, after so many years, would at least have gotten me past myself with a true question, a real true question. Maybe this is God. But that place does not exist inside of me. This is my conclusion. My safeguard in my direction of truth has nothing to do with my work, but the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit alone is the teacher and guide into all truth. Time spent with God is not the essence, but it is relevant. Meaning time in and of itself doesn't produce or protect truth, but the more time given to the Holy Spirit through the medium of praying in tongues and meditation of His Word gives the Holy Spirit more opportunity to produce and to protect truth. God does not side with people, per se. God sides with Himself. We have this assurance, or His assurance, that the more we do these things, the more we will dwell in that place that 1 John 2:20 says this, "But you have an unction from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things." Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope that not only that this continues to go into your spirit, but other people hearing it will also receive the nature by which it is delivered. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just love You. And we give You all the praise and glory. We thank You for Your great grace. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, as we go forward in the days ahead, and Lord, just as these things are heard, not just from this crowd, and we thank You that they were patient, so that we could get all this out, because, Lord, it's going to the world. We pray that in the days ahead that we will be instruments of Your love and of Your grace to help and to minister grace, knowing that we don't know everything, but, Lord, that we are only on a journey. But our assurance is this: we have a teacher, and He is the Holy Spirit. We give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you tonight. We love you so much. We'll see many of you Friday night. You're dismissed.